later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locusfocus. Thanks for listening.
And it is 11 a.m. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up next, Grace Greed hosts Disability Awareness. And that is followed at 11:30 by the Radio Zine. We will feature excerpts from a recent Portland panel discussion on the need to ban landmines. The event was organized by Lynn Braddock, an advocate with Handicap International. We'll also hear from retired American fighter pilots who dropped bombs on Laos during the Vietnam War. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a KBOO member? You can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014. The event takes place Sunday, September 7th, and is a great way to detox after a long summer. Whether you're getting back from Labor Day weekend or decompressing from the burn, this is a great way to stay healthy through dance, foods, and multiple healing modalities. That's A Touch of Portland, Sunday, September 7th at Northwest 17th and Davis. Go to kboo.fm/touchofportland for more information on this event.
And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
Yeah, hi, listeners. This is Disability Awareness, and I'm Gracie Goreed, and I have my wonderful friend Laura Sandow is with me again today, but I want to start off, we have some very luscious stuff on the last 15 minutes, so hang in there. I've got some really cool stuff to announce and to talk about. Today we're going to be a little feely-touchy with issues that are affecting all people, and especially disabled people, compromised people. But first, I have a few announcements that I want to make. These announcements have been made, but I wanted to elaborate some of them because I was not able to announce them in a more a deeper way. So, for seniors that can afford low-cost service, there is the store-to-door volunteer outreach program. The contact person is Barb McDowell, M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L. This store-to-door outreach program has been in existence since 1989. I don't know if... No, it's not associated with Meals on Wheels, but it's a low-cost service for seniors who cannot go out and shop or don't want to go out and shop. And they have the store-to-door volunteers and outreach have, of course, volunteers that come to your place. They have all been background checked, by the way. And they will come, and you give them your grocery list, and they will toddle off and go shopping for you and bring them back, bring your purchases back. And what a wonderful service, right, for seniors who don't want to go out, can't go out, whatever. And the contact person for that is Barb McDowell, 503-200-333, extension 008. Again, Barb McDowell, 503-200-333, extension 008. Store to door. And they're also looking for volunteers. Okay. The next announcement, if you're a family that is dealing with autistic children ages 6 to 11, again, Autism Treatment and Research Program, Dr. Louisa Silva, S-I-L-V-A, of Western Oregon Research Institute, is seeking families with children ages 6 to 11 that have been diagnosed with autism. Again, Dr. Louisa Silva, Western Oregon Research Institute, seeking families with children ages 6 to 11 diagnosed with autism. This program closes on September the 5th, so if you're a family with that profile, you can still register your children or sign up or whatever they do, enroll your children. Up until August the 5th. I guess it's through August the 5th. And then after that date, of course, this is closed. And what they do is the research is about using non-traditional, in other words, more holistic approaches to working with autism, including Qigong, massage therapy, things like that. Anyway, so if you want to sign up, enroll your children, your child, if you're a family of autism, this is the website, qsti.org, qsti.org. And Nicole Miller is the contact person, 503-949-7621. Okay, so that's another opportunity coming up pretty soon on September the 5th. And then my next announcement is the Northwest Association for Blind Athletes. I didn't know there were, that's fantastic. Northwest Association for Blind Athletes, 311 West Evergreen Boulevard, Vancouver, Washington, it has just hired Stacy Gibbons as the director of the programs. So you might want to call 1-800-880-9837 and give Stacy a shout out and a congratulations. But she has just been hired as the director of programs. The Northwest Association for Blind Athletes announced today, they announced it on the 18th of August, actually, that the organization has named her as the new director of programs. Gibbons holds a bachelor's and master's degree from the College of Brockport State University, New York. She said, "I am very excited to be part of this growing organization. I hope my experience and leadership in the field will aid in breaking barriers for blind or visibly impaired athletes in the Northwest. It's important to remember a loss of sight is not a loss of vision. Together, our programs have infinite possibilities, and I am blessed to be in this position." And that was Stacy Gibbons, G-I-B-B-I-N-S. Okay. The Northwest Association for Blind Athletes is a 501c3 charitable organization that provides programming to over 1,000 individuals of all ages and ability levels with visual impairments. The mission of NWABA is to provide life-changing opportunities through sports and physical activities to individuals who are blind and visually impaired. It was formed by a group of visually impaired students in 2007 to assure that people who are blind can participate. So there's that announcement and that person. to contact. Okay, I have something out of, I wanted to read out of MS Focus, which is a magazine I get, and this is basically, this is for anybody that's disabled, but the MS Focus is the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation, and I've been getting their newsletter, their magazine. Actually, it's quite a nice big magazine for quite some years. But I read an article here that actually influences or it impacts all of us that are, not only disabled, but compromised on some level, can't work, can't, you know, function, 9-to-5 jobs, etc. So, in an article as we see it, the title of this is, Will the American Conscious Take Another Hit? And this segues into another thing around these HUD issues that I've been dealing with. So, recently some news came over the wire services that have given us reason to be concerned. This is the article, and I'm just going to read it in its entirety. We have been reminded that it won't be long before the federal funding that provides benefits for Social Security disability income runs out. I hope your mouths are open and your eyebrows have gone up, because if that runs out, I'm basically, I need to go start looking for a really sturdy cardboard box that I will be living in. Oh, my. The large number of aging baby boomers has sped up this process. Sorry about that. I'm one of those folks. As many of you know firsthand, SSDI serves as a vital lifeline for individuals and families who are unable to work due to permanent disability resulting from an injury, chronic disease such as MS. With monthly benefits currently averaging, at least for a family, about $1,100, and they're living, so that means they're living on a meager existence. Even when food stamps are added, when one considers all the hoops a person has to jump through to qualify as the limited income benefit, it is plain to see that there is no excess to train. Well, maybe we need to train somebody, huh? But excess to trim. Funding must not be allowed to lapse for any period of time. The impact on people's lives would be catastrophic. Don't you think, Laura?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought I'd better. We're looking at each other, shaking our heads. I'm thinking, okay, Laura, what do you think? Oh, my. Oh, that's all we need is one more federal government breakdown. Thank you very much. In no way does this come as a shock to politicians, bureaucrats, and advocates. Everyone has been aware for some time that of the well running dry, quote unquote, for SSDI and ultimately for Social Security retirement benefits as well. What makes this especially troubling is that the next year and year after Congress, am I hearing any boos, hisses, anything? May use this urgent need for funding as a ball to battle around in its usual, as of late, political infighting. This needs to be repeated. Congress may use this urgent need for funding as a ball. That's my life, people. I'm sorry, but that's my life. I'm not a ball. Hello out there, Congress, bureaucrats, etc. I'm not a ball to be battered around. Stop the political infighting. The irony of all this is that SSDI was originally passed into law, in part due to the efforts of key congressmen who were up for re-election along with a determined majority leader. Lyndon Johnson was very much a part of starting this to make sure it stayed stable. Today, with some representatives touting their fiscal conservatism at re-election time, an adequate funding plan may not necessarily be assured or implemented on a timely basis. This is not good news. This is the tragic expression of unmet needs for so many involved. The best news to hear would be that all this is just speculation and that Congress will indeed work together to ensure that SSDI does not come in harm's way. It is possible this is actually how it will all play out at the end. Unfortunately, in recent years, we have seen how our legislative branch of government has managed to come to a standstill. Thus, for now, we encourage everyone to poll their congressional representatives to learn how they stand on this issue, and if necessary, make it perfectly clear SSDI is not a bargaining chip explanation mark. This, by the way, is an article, and I'm just reading it from As We See It, MS Focus, titled Will the American Consciousness Take Another Hit? By Jules Cooperberg, co-executive director, and Alan Segaloff, co-executive director. So it's not necessarily KBOO's opinion. It's an article written by Jules and Alan on this issue. But it does certainly impact a lot of people that are on SSDI, including me. So I wanted to make sure you were aware of that, because not everybody gets MS Focus magazine. That was in the issue summer 2014. So, all right. So, Laura, how you been? What's up?
Not much. I'm getting ready for school.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. So you're going back to, tell us what, you'll fill us in.
Oh, Portland State. I'm going back to Portland State, and I will be working on Open Engagement 2015.
Jeez, that's really cool. I know you just recently got back from New York with a very successful trip. So what do you think? Any comments on the article? She's shaking her head. She's shaking her head. It's a radio show. She's shaking her head. Oh, my God. It's so funny, isn't it? Actually, it's not funny. There's nothing funny about any of this, is there? So I wanted to segue in. This segues into the rest of the show. I have been... And I don't know how many people remember or are listening or have listened when I was talking about this HUD issue that I'm going through. I'm in Section 8 housing, and I'm in HUD housing. I have very low income because of my MS, my disability, which is my disability, and my age, 72, and et cetera. So... first of all, I want to say thank you, taxpayers, for caring that I don't live in a cardboard box. Seriously. So this isn't a black or white or he said, she said, or a me versus them. I'm not into that at all. But what I am is very low income due to the fact that I cannot work full time. And if you can't work full time, because I also have a master's degree in conflict resolution, and if I can't work full-time in my field, that means I'm economically challenged. And as an economically challenged old lady thank you, HUD, for allowing me to live in one of your buildings and be part of Section 8. However, here's something that's happening. I make about, $9,000, $10,000 a year income because of my disability and whatnot. So I'm below the poverty line, actually. And that's okay. I don't live my labels, by the way. That does not affect who I really am. I know who I really am. I'm a terrifically wonderful spiritual being. But on the other hand, in the realistic world, that's who I am and what I do. That's it. Now, but so recently, it's getting close to almost a year now. Well, not quite a year. I got a $50 rent raise about 8 months ago. And that was alarming enough. And my Section 8 wraparound services said, ooh, we're going to have a hard time adjusting, helping pay some of your rent so that you can live in a decent, respectful, kind way. And then I got another $50 rent raise pretty close to 7 months later, and that was a $100 rent raise on somebody that's in Section 8 in HUD housing. Hey, not okay. Not okay. I'm an advocate. I'm an activist. I'm a social justice activist. So I had to get real active around this, and I had to help. I had to do something for myself. I did a talk at Elm Court, Meals on Wheels, downtown Portland, and I had about 13 to 15 seniors that had come, and in fact, this was last month's show, that had come as a result of me talking about this, that have also been hit in their particular HUD housing. So this is all HUD housing that's happening. This is happening to and with. And I had about 13 terrified seniors sitting there wondering, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What information can we get, etc.? And here's what happened. I went over to the HUD. I went to the courthouse, and I went into the HUD office, and I asked for some transparency. I asked for some information. What is this? What's happening here? What's happening? Why is this happening? And I got transferred to Housing Authority Portland, which is, they call themselves Home Forward. And then they transferred me back to my Section 8 gal, Sydney. And then Sydney transferred me back to my property manager. In other words, I kept getting looped and looped and looped. And I did this for about 3 months, and then I decided, you got to be kidding me. There is no information out there. They will not. They're withholding information. So this was not okay with me. I'm a social justice activist. This is yummy stuff for a social justice activist. I've been having fun with this one. Anyway, so I went out. So I, you know, when I'm in trouble like this, I write to everybody. I reach out and I write to everybody on the planet that I even think halfway cares for my situation. And I wrote a letter to President Obama, because he's always writing little, you know, if you voted for him and whatnot, and I'm an Obama person, but if you voted for him and whatnot, he's always asking, so how are you guys doing out there? You know, you people that voted for me. So I wrote about a 3-paragraph email back to the White House. Here's how I'm doing, and here's what I'm up for, and here's what's happening for me, and I can't get any information from your United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. Hello, so I don't, and I wasn't expecting anything back. Seriously, you know, I mean, you write, and you don't expect anything back. But the point is, it's my responsibility to, as an activist, to just reach out, because you never know. And so hold your breath, people. I got this letter back. I can't tell you. On the heading, it says United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Oregon Field Office, August the 18th, 2014, Grace Reed, my address. Dear Ms. Reed, President Barack Obama received your email and has asked the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, to respond to you because it administers federal housing programs. We checked our database to find all the information, in other words, that I am, I have a Section 8 voucher, and I pay a certain portion of my rent, and that the rent was raised, and that I occupy my unit, and I'm not mentioning any names where I'm living, of course, because that's irrelevant, really. And the second paragraph gave me all the information that HUD at our local county courthouse or our local courthouse would not give me. And you know what? Isn't that absolutely fantastic? And this was signed by Margaret Sole Salazar, and I have her phone. And you can bet that, in fact, this letter is going to get utilized. I'm going to start going to all these people that I've been trying to find, and many of them can't even be found on the web. And I'm going to be calling her, and I'm going to be asking, okay, so why were you not transparent in the beginning? So isn't that the most amazing thing? President Barack Obama received my email and got back to me. Love it. You may kiss my ring now. Anyway, so Laura, I did want to talk to you a little bit about transparent. We're talking about transparency across the board, but we're talking about transparency at the government level. You've been...
I've worked for the government, and I think in a lot of situations they don't want transparency because they're so disorganized themselves. I think that's a lot of the problem.
You would be the champion of knowledge there, wouldn't you? Why do you think that's...
Well, it's a combination of bureaucracy, too many hands in one thing, and not enough communication.
Yeah, and so our system is, I guess I can safely say, in fact, I know I can safely say our system is so broken.
It is very broken.
It's so broken.
Well, that's why we do have people doing the social art part and the activism. We need people like you and me out there letting our voices be heard and sharing our issues, because there are other people out there who have the same questions and concerns.
Oh, many. Yeah. And so we're change agents. I think we can, and I do know about you, Laura, but we're forces for justice, social justice, and in my case, restorative justice, and we are change agents, and we do have that responsibility. And everybody that's suffering from any of this, please be a change agent and a force for social justice. Join the arena. And boy, I'll tell you, KBOO, thank you, because for KBOO, this is what KBOO is about. It gives us a voice on a mic in a professional radio setting where we can actually talk about these things. So thank you, KBOO. And if you haven't contributed anything to KBOO, please do, because without this, hey, you know what? Without this radio station, there's even less transparency. So this is a very important radio station. Support it. It can't go away. So the letter that from the MS, MS Focus letter talked about obstructionist. And so, you know, there it is, the obstructionist. They particularly talked about Congress. And absolutely, it just proves how broken things are. We have an idealistic president who wants very much, I mean, he would have been able, I suppose, he wanted to implement all the promises he made, but of course he had obstructionist. Now, there's two sides to this story. There's the checks and balances. But we're not into checks and balances the way the Constitution was formed in the beginning, and the way this country was born in the beginning. So we've broken down considerably from our original plan and mission statement, because there's nothing about the people for the people in the present arena, don't you think?
Well, if you replace people with corporation, that might be appropriate.
Well, there you go. There's a plan. So we're looking at transparency, we're looking at respect, and we're looking at kindness, aren't we? We all know the problem. Anger, resentment, hostility, fear of loss, grief, guilt, indifference, separation. What is the solution? And as change agents and forces for justice and respect for ourselves and the demand for transparency, which is what I did, and of course I was successful. Isn't this the most amazing thing? I was opened the letter and almost fainted. I want to read a little parting statement. It's called The Practice of Kindness. I have empathy for others. I notice what people need. I love to be helpful. I am thoughtful in little ways. I practice good habits that help the earth. I am a good caregiver to myself. I am thankful for the gift of kindness. It awakens my heart. And may that be our legacy as change agents and forces for social justice. Thank you, Laura, for carting me over here. She comes and she picks me up and she brings me over to KBOO. Thank you, KBOO, for allowing us a voice on these very, very important issues. Tune in next month. I'll have yet another guest, and we will continue our transparency. Thanks so much.
Registration is now open for the Pacific Northwest Social Forum coming to Portland the weekend of September 26th through the 28th. The weekend will feature People's Movement assemblies on topics such as treaty rights, food sovereignty, housing justice, and more. The Social Forum will begin Friday, September 26th with the concert by KBOO Station co-manager Mike Crenshaw and friends. KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of this important and historic event where we, the people, will create the Pacific Northwest Plan of Action for social, economic, and climate justice. Information about registration, endorsement, childcare, or on the Pacific Northwest Social Forum in general can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
And on the Radio Zine today, we feature excerpts from a recent Portland panel discussion on the need to ban landmines. The event was organized and introduced by Lynn Braddock, an advocate with Handicap International. She lost her son, a U.S. Marine, when his team accidentally detonated a cluster bomb in Iraq. Ms. Braddock has spent time in Laos, one of the most heavily cluster-bombed contaminated countries in the world. The panel also features a retired American fighter pilot who was ordered to drop bombs on Laos during the Vietnam War, a retired Air Force officer whose job duties included making